Greetings to the Brightestonians in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We love our opening music here. Tony Funderburk does a great job singing it, so we play as much of it as we can. Hey, I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'd like to welcome you to the show. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. If you heard the interview I did this past week with Hugh Hewitt, Is he the number one Christian talk show host of a standard call-in radio talk show in the country on Salem Radio Network? And where the Republican Party activism is bringing Christians, what direction we are headed spiritually and morally, feel free to call in to talk about that. The number again is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We also have... we have information about John Kerry with a photo from his campaign this weekend holding a gun up in the air, a Browning shotgun, and, you know, posing like the great sportsman that he wants everyone to believe he is. And it turns out that he co-sponsored a bill last year that would have outlawed the very gun he's holding. And he received the gun as a gift, which he acknowledged as he spoke with the gun, and his bill also would have made it illegal to receive a gun as a gift. And not only that, he apparently accepted the gift, and that, of course, is illegal under current law because he undoubtedly did not submit to the waiting period. He undoubtedly did not complete the required paperwork, Form 4479, and he undoubtedly did not go through the background check. And also, it's been illegal for some years now to obtain a firearm in a state in which you are not a legal resident. So, John Kerry, that's so typical, right, of liberals, that everything they campaign about, for the most part, is a lie and a fraud, and they try to present themselves as something completely different from who they actually are. All right, also, the Arab world, Muslims are responding to the horror of the terrorists who attacked the school in Russia and slaughtered about 500 people, hundreds of children, shot children in the back as they fled for their lives. And headlines are coming out in the Muslim press by leading writers and columnists, editors. For example, this, and I get this from the Sunday Denver Post, an article by the Associated Press out of Cairo, Egypt. This headline, "The Painful Truth, All the World Terrorists Are Muslims." These are things running in the Arab Muslim press in the Middle East. This quote, "Our terrorist sons are an end product of our corrupted culture." And this from a leading columnist in Egypt, that the terrorist in Russia who killed the children at the school and the adults, that they showed Muslims as monsters who are fed by the blood of children and the pain of their families. So not all the Muslim world is supporting this. We do have a report that I'll bring to you in a bit about an Islamic cleric in Britain who said a couple days ago that he would support hostage taking of children at British schools as long as the terrorist had a just cause. And he said as long as the terrorist didn't directly kill the kids, but if the kids were shot and killed in the crossfire, then so be it. So we'll get some of those quotes to you. And also, China threatens internet porn merchants with life in prison. Oh, now that's interesting. China threatens internet porn merchants with life in prison, depending on the severity of their crime. They could get up to life in prison for running an internet porn site. All right, so let's go to the phones. First, in Aurora, Colorado, coincidentally, Cheryl, speak your mind on your topic. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Oh, it very much upsets me. I am 55 years old, and I went to sexual abuse as a child. And they didn't even call it post-traumatic stress when I went through it. It was called delayed stress, just like in Vietnam. And you know how many wars we've had since that time. But I now am 55 years old, and I'm now going through dissociative disorder, which is part of delayed, you know, post-traumatic stress. And I'm on disability now for this, and I'm 55, and it just really upsets me when I know how much damage this causes the children.
Well, sexual immorality is destructive, especially to children, but to everyone involved in it, everyone that's victimized by it, everyone that willingly participates in it. And until, and Cheryl, do you have one final comment to make? Because then I'd like to make a final comment. Go right ahead.
Okay. It horrifies me that they're making this legal, like you said.
Yes, thank you.
It horrifies me.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. God bless you. I appreciate that. If you heard Alan Keyes, who's campaigning for Senate with the Republican Party in Illinois, and he was in an interview, and of course the media wants to mock him, and so they brought up homosexuality, and he said, to paraphrase him, he said, homosexuality is perverse. Lesbians are perverse. They're perverts. And then to embarrass him or make it difficult for him, they brought up Vice President Dick Cheney's daughter, who's not only a lesbian, but as a lesbian, she has the full support of the current White House, President Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, and pretty much most of the leaders of the Republican Party. And they asked Alan Keyes about Mary Cheney, and he said, look, if she's a lesbian, then she is perverse. She's perverse. It's wrong. And so that was brought up on Fox News by Greta Van Susteren. And she asked it to one of the leading Republican campaign consultants, Mary Madeline, who's heavily involved with the Bush campaign. And what the Republicans will do to Alan Keyes for saying that is, I think, typified by what Mary Madeline did. She utterly excoriated Alan Keyes, just completely condemned him for that kind of vitriolic hate speech. And so the homosexuals are elevated, revered, respected, nothing but compliments and praise for the homosexuals. This is where the Republican Party is taking conservative Christians. Nothing but praise. And from the one Republican running for office that has the courage to say homosexuality is wrong, from the Bush campaign on the floor of the Republican National Convention, that one Republican candidate, Alan Keyes, is just utterly condemned for his hate speech, his bigoted beliefs. So that's where we are. That's where we're headed. And if you heard the interview with Hugh Hewitt from Salem Radio Network, you'll see on issue after issue after issue, if you hold the biblical view of law, if you hold even the historic American view, the Judeo-Christian view, the traditional views of law, for example, that sexual immorality is a crime, you will be mocked and ridiculed unless you join the Republican Party line that sexual immorality needs to be legal. It needs to be legal. And as soon as we agree that sex outside of marriage is legal, then there is no way. When the conservative Christians are saying pornography should be legal and adultery should be legal, fornication should be legal, homosexuality should be legal, how do we expect to win these culture battles? when the good guys have become the enemy. The good guys have become the enemy. The good guys have become the enemy. And that's where politics are bringing us. Because the Bible teaches the majority is evil. The majority, Jesus said, are going to hell. And the majority shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," in the first jury trial the world has ever seen, when a corrupt, evil judge was acquitting Jesus Christ. It became a jury trial, and he was tried by his peers and found guilty unjustly. And Christians are so ignorant and so naive, and they think democracy is from God, and the jury system is from God. No, it's not. They're left-wing ideas to unseat the authority of God and replace the foundation of government with popular opinion. Guess what? Popular opinion will put Christians in the Colosseum and sell tickets to watch them burned as torches. That's what popular opinion will do. But you notice the hatred of conservative Christians in the media, the hatred, and how that's seeping into Republican Party politics. Only we just close our eyes to it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to see it. We're willing to compromise. Hey, and if we're willing to compromise, what did Hugh Hewitt ask us to compromise on? What principle? What? Well, he said if, as good Christians, if in 4 years Rudy Giuliani is the Republican Party nominee for president, all good Christians, we should support him. I said, but Hugh Hewitt from Salem Radio Network in Denver, KNUS, 710 a.m. I said, Hugh, Rudy Giuliani not only supports abortion, he supports partial birth abortion, which is the murder of an unborn child as he's being delivered from his mother's womb. Stab the baby in the neck and kill the baby. Rudy Giuliani even supports that. And Hugh Hewitt says, I would support him because he's a Republican. And so what principle are these conservative leaders asking you to compromise on? Which, think of all the principles in the Bible, like don't covet. That's not it. Don't steal. Well, that's not it. Don't commit blasphemy against God. Well, that's not it. What principle are they asking you to compromise on when you're to support even a blatant child killer, as blatant as Rudy Giuliani, who supports the killing of unborn children as they're coming out of their mother's womb? Late-term abortion. They're asking you to compromise on thou shalt not murder. Hey, if it's for political gain, if it's for a Republican Party victory at the polls, then we'll even support outright murderers. What makes Hugh Hewitt's position different from Hamas? If you know, I'd like to hear it. Because I don't think there is a difference between Hugh Hewitt's position that we're willing to kill children to get political power. I don't know that there's a difference. Let's go to the phones. In Maybank, Texas, Tom, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob.
Yes,
boy,
sir.
You're on a roll.
Thank you, sir. I think. Thank you.
What I like to discuss with you, Bob, is one of the best-kept secrets in the U.S., and that is that Congress recently passed a bill,
yeah,
H.R. 218, and it was signed by the president. And what it did is it's going to allow retired law enforcement officers to carry weapons in any of the 48 states.
Wow.
And this would put hundreds of thousands of well-trained people that are not only trained how to use a weapon, but when to use a weapon.
Right.
And it's not going to cost anybody anything.
Right. Now, after 9/11, we called, of course, not only for pilots to be armed, which the Bush administration came out against, and then they went kicking and screaming and finally gave in to the demand of the pilots' unions and agreed that pilots should have the right to be armed. But we also called for law enforcement officers to fly armed.
Exactly.
When a police officer is getting on a plane and he's flying across the country for a vacation, let him fly armed. And, of course, let the airline know.
And the other thing is if they did fly on a plane, use the special ammunition. They could reload their weapons with that low-velocity ammo.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't, be...
Yeah, and hollow point rounds, so they come apart within the terrorist and not go through the terrorist.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Tom, were you ever involved in law enforcement or the government or?
Yes, I'm retired law enforcement.
You are.
And a couple of things that this bill does is, number one, it provides a clear, uniform, nationwide rules that replaces all the various local laws, some police departments, they allow their people to be armed when they're off duty, and others won't.
Right.
And this will clear up all that.
Right.
And it also, there's a lot of officers that retire, and they're out there, and they can't carry a weapon, and they and their family are in danger of the criminals that they've arrested when they were on duty.
Mm, very good point.
There's a lot of vengeful criminals out there.
Yeah. Tom, thank you very much for bringing that out. And those are the kind of simple, straightforward, rational things that should have been the case all along.
But, my congressman, Ralph Hall, is the one that got that passed.
All right.
And he called me one day and he said, the liberals in Washington are more afraid of an honest, armed citizen than they are criminals.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. That's just like, the liberals are upside down on everything. If you have a rapist who's impregnated his victim, the liberals want to kill the baby and protect the rapist. And the conservative Christian will kill the rapist and protect the baby.
That's what I'd like to see done.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Doug. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Now we're going to Colorado. Doug. Doug, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hello, Doug McBurney. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing great. The show sounds great, Bob. Just wanted to find out when 670 is going to put you on for the full hour.
Full hour. Well, we'll be praying about that. Hey, Doug, we've got a telethon going right now. Speaking of a full hour.
Right, right.
That would, of course, increase our airtime bill tremendously, but... on the internet, to keep our website, kgov.com, up and running, we've got our September telethon going. And, Doug, let me say privately, just you and me and just no one else listening.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's like to give a telethon and nobody came? This is really painful. And you know what I realized? Well, there's two things that have happened that just are killing us. One is, believe it or not, after years of being up and running, our internet store has malfunctioned, and it is denying all credit cards.
Now, that's helpful.
Yeah, we use Microsoft's B Central.
Microsoft.
So we put in some people said it's the devil. I said, no, it's just Microsoft. It's not the devil. It's just a software bug. But anyway, then the second thing is every 4 years – Bob Benyart Live suffers the fate of American politics because when we come out and talk about what's happening to the body of Christ as we compromise on do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, politically, people get somewhat disenchanted with the show and they get more excited about listening to programs that are cheerleaders for the Republican Party. And so our support drops off precipitously.
Well, that's one of the reasons I was calling.
Oh.
Because I couldn't think of a more effective way of marginalizing the program than comparing Hugh Hewitt to Hamas.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to alienate people.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yeah, but, as I was driving, I was trying to think through the statement that you made, which is a very harsh and divisive statement.
Right.
That the Republicans want to kill children in order to gain political power. That's that's a bombshell statement. And I just wanted to hear how you talked that through. How did you come to the point where you would make a statement so it's a very firebrand statement?
Well, you know, just the fact that they would have someone who's as guilty as much innocent blood as Rudy Giuliani, who is not only pro-choice, but even a pro-choice person who's deluded themselves into thinking a baby is just a tumor, that a baby is just like a cancer that needs to be eradicated. Even a person that evil and that corrupt of heart, when they see partial birth abortion, where you have a six-month-old baby in the womb, seven, eight, nine-month-old baby, and the abortionist begins to deliver that baby, breech, feet first, and the entire baby's body is out of his mother's womb up until the head. And just five more seconds and the head would be out, and if he killed the baby, it would be murder. But they keep the head in the mother, and they take a knife, and they stab the baby in the back of the neck and kill that little boy or little girl. And Rudy Giuliani is so evil that he even supports that.
Well, you know, when you put it in terms, in those specific terms, it does sound just as horrible as anything a terrorist has ever done.
Right.
But can I play the Hewitt's advocate?
Yeah, do.
For just a moment? Because I think that Hugh and all the Republican cheerleaders and all the hacks out there on the radio would say, Rudy Giuliani, as the mayor of New York, there was nothing he could do about abortion. He was in no position to change the legislation or change the law. And even as president of the United States, he really would have nothing to do with abortion.
Exactly. That's what Hugh Hewitt is telling us. We have to get George Bush elected because Kennedy, horror of horrors, John Kerry, even supports partial birth abortion. That's what he said on the show.
I heard that.
Yeah, and so then he turns around and says, hey, I'm a good Republican. I would support Rudy Giuliani if he's nominated for president. Hugh Hewitt, Rudy Giuliani is the same kind of child killer that is John Kerry. And you know how Hugh Hewitt finessed that? He said, hey, when you kill unborn children in America, that's not murder. That's just constitutionally suspect. You see, he's a Harvard lawyer, right?
He's some kind of lawyer. I know that.
Well, Jesus didn't have many good words to say about lawyers. And when people who have tolerated, advocated, supported the murder of unborn children, when those people stand before God, is God going to hold them guilty of shedding innocent blood and the murder of beautiful young children? Or is he going to say, well, you were just constitutionally suspect?
It seems to me that just by not advocating against abortion, if you don't advocate in some way actively against abortion, especially if you hold some political office or some position of power,
yeah,
then you're even more guilty.
Right. And so I asked Hugh Hewitt if he was in Germany and there was a Nazi who was running for office and he only supported killing a handful of Jews, would he support that politician? And Hugh Hewitt, maybe the leading Christian talk radio host in America, said yes.
Yeah.
So he'll take us from supporting, and this is exploring his principles and where his principles bring us. And you know, it's not like he really is a compromiser, because he will not compromise on Republican partisan politics. He will never compromise on that, but on God saying, thou shalt not murder, and the hands that shed innocent blood, I despise, they're an abomination to me. Hugh is ready to compromise that in the blink of an eye, because he's conditioned himself.
Bob, I don't want you to get discouraged about the telethon, because those of us who are the real core of your audience, we appreciate when you stand with Christ, even when it goes against political convenience. And, you know, a lot of money is being drained over into the political campaigns this year. And so you might have to work extra hard on the telethon. And I know that it's going to be okay. And I know that the folks who stand with Christ are going to stand with you. And you know what? Put me down for 100 right now.
Doug.
Put me down for 100.
Doug,
I want to put the call out there, folks. if you were going to send money to the Republicans, send it to Bob Enyart Live. $100, $1,000. Don't waste your money on the Republican Party. Stand with Christ. Stand with Christians. Don't stand with the politically convenient thing for political power.
Well, Doug, God bless you, Doug. Thank you for calling in.
God bless you.
All right. I'm encouraged. I appreciate that from Doug McBurney. He co-hosts the show on Fridays when he's in town. He travels all over the country. How could he donate? He helps with the show. But that's the way he is, Doug and Takako McBurney. Thank you, guys. That's incredible. All right. So I would love to – it's too late today, but on a future show, I'd like to hear somebody who's going to take – the side of Hugh Hewitt, that no matter how many kids the Republican candidate is willing to kill and will support killing, that we should support him. I'd like to see how anyone justifies that. And when Hugh Hewitt said he'd even support a Nazi who's willing to kill some Jews because Hitler would kill more, well, you know what would be interesting about that trade-off? When Jesus tells us, don't do evil, that good may come of it. And I'd rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's what Jesus said. So that would be like saying, okay, if Hitler or Stalin, one or the other, is going to be in power. So, Hugh, who are you going to vote for, Hitler or Stalin? Well, Hitler murdered 6 million. Stalin murdered 20 million. So I have to support Hitler. I got to support Hitler because I saved 14 million people. And he mocked the intelligence of the audience by suggesting that if I was at Auschwitz, Bob Enyart, that I wouldn't save two or three Jews from the gas chambers or Dachau because I couldn't save them all. And that's such a lie. Of course I would. Of course I praise the Ten Booms, Corey Ten Boom and her family, the author of The Hiding Place, for saving whoever saved as many Jews as they could or victims of the Holocaust. Praise God for that effort. But I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't say, I'm going to kill some of these Jewish kids here so it helps me fight the battle more. I wouldn't do that. And that's what Hugh Hewitt is teaching Christians we need to do. We need to be willing to affirmatively kill some kids to gain political power so we can oppose the bad guys. And we've become the bad guys. That's what's happened. And I asked Hugh Hewitt, I said, James Dobson, he said, oh, I interviewed James Dobson at length. He's fully supportive of George W. Bush running for president. And I said, yeah, if Bush would promise to never again appoint a judge who is willing to kill innocent children, I would vote for him. And Hugh Hewitt said, that'll never happen. And he's right. And I said, well, how about James Dobson? Did he violate his pledge when he wrote and he said on the air, he said, I will never again support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child in abortion. And I said, did he violate that pledge when he is now supporting George W. Bush? Because Bush supports abortion under various circumstances, and he appoints judges who are completely pro-abortion. And Hugh Hewitt said, no, James Dobson didn't violate that pledge. How so, Hugh? Can't you even be honest? You should say, yeah, James Dobson violated that pledge and I'm proud of him because it was a bad pledge. Now that would be honest. But on top of violating thou shalt not murder, Hugh compromises on don't bear false witness. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. We're out of time. Tune in tomorrow and come on out to Denver Bible Church.